Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zalbeck.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Bad of the Booth.
Booth man.
Hooray. First of all, Pete. Welcome back from Hawaii.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
It's nice to get out of that sun and back on the stage.
Yeah, you look so relaxed.
It is way too cold here.
Are you wearing a full body sweatsuit?
Yep.
Or what's wow?
Yeah, I'm
great.
Freezing.
Yeah, okay, that's weird.
I had real longboards. The beer in Hawaii that was, and I thought you guys.
Oh, the beer we drink here on the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
This show longboard. Sponsored by Longboard Beer, the beard of longboards.
Yeah.
Did I
say
beard?
You did say beard. That's
great.
Incorrect.
All right, there you go.
Yep.
Well, it's great to have you back. You look completely untan.
Thank
and
you.
Angrier somehow.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, I'm lightly tan. This is a weird lighting, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Now, Pete, while you're away, a lot of stuff has been happening in my life, and I'd prefer if we could talk about that.
Sure.
We'll definitely shift it over to...
I don't know. I don't want to make you guys too uncomfortable.
No, I saw the picture. I'm pretty uncomfortable.
Okay, but I was recently named one of Chicago Tribune's Hottest Geek Guys of Winter 2013.
Wow.
Wait, there was like 20 guys... 20 people
if, I'm going to probably have a lot of modeling contracts coming in pretty soon. Now,
could you please define
not
hot?
Not going to have a lot of time for the shit. What?
Define hot?
Yeah, when they mean hot, they don't mean
they
good
mean
looking.
Like sweating, like dripping with sweat.
Yeah. Moist.
Yeah. Yep, moist disguise.
I encourage anyone who wants a good chuckle to go check out this picture online.
It's creepy.
I'll show you guys in the audience here if you want.
It's funny. Everyone else is making like geeky faces or they're holding something geeky, and you're doing a rather sexual.
It's kind of cool because there's Steve Sansweet, who's one of the geekiest Star Wars fans around.
I have never heard of any of these people on this list besides you.
And they're very famous, I'm sure of it. And a couple of other guys.
Yeah, your page
is cool. This guy seems pretty cool. Matt Ridd plays a guitar. Guitars are cool.
Yeah, that's not geeky.
This is another.
This guy's in a car. That other guy is in a car.
Here, get to it.
Great. And I did that wrong.
Oh man.
This is going to be
your
great.
Modeling career is going down very fast.
You don't know how to sell yourself, kid.
All right, there's me. There
creepy.
You go.
Nice.
Is that your own bed that you're
there's
on
nothing
there?
Says sexy like a patchwork quilt.
Patchwork quilt.
Laying on a patchwork quilt.
Two computers, an iPad, and a comic book, reading The Death of Superman.
Nice.
So, ladies, I'm not available.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show tonight. He's been here before. He's a good friend of the show. He is the host of the Jeff Rubin Show. Ladies and gentlemen, show! Oh, I mean Jeff Rubin.
Jeff Rubin!
Jeff Rubin!
Welcome, sir. Please, have a seat.
Jeff, thanks.
Oops. Turn it on. There
hey,
you
everybody.
Go.
Hi.
You gotta
Thanks
turn
so
that mic
on, show,
which
Jeff.
Is hard next to sexiest Alex Zalba.
Is this in print somewhere? We're looking at it on your iPad.
I can't imagine.
No, I think
this
Zalba
is clearly
just made
photoshopped.
No,
it's not photoshopped.
No. That's your face and body?
Yeah, that's my actual face and body.
Your hand looks gigantic.
That hand is mine. That sweater is mine.
I'll tell you what. I feel the sexual energy coming off.
Oh, how did you choose which comic book you were reading in the picture?
I'll tell you, Jeff. That was the comic book I was reading when they took the picture.
So nothing sexy is Death of Superman.
Death of Superman. You're just like revisiting it?
Yeah.
Did it hold up?
Yeah, actually, here's the thing. We talked about this last week on
the
show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Correct. No, that's fine. But I had never read Death of Superman before.
Oh, because you're an asshole?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I specifically, when I was like 13 years old or whatever, was like, I'm an asshole.
I'm an asshole. That was actually my entry point for comic books. Like, I got caught up in that hype, and then I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. And then I've been reading comic books ever since.
Yeah. What did you think of Death of Superman? Have you read it since?
I haven't read it since then. So I don't know. That's why I was so curious if it held up.
Oh, okay.
It mostly does. We talked about it last week, but there's a lot of ancillary events and weird characters that are like, what?
Yeah.
Like blood
the actual fight is pretty good. And
blood
the climactic
rain,
issue, which is just all splash pages, is awesome.
That's cool.
Very cool. But yeah, Bloodwind is weird.
Or Bloodwind, that's right.
There's a bunch of stuff. Lex Luthor 2 is big and hairy and has big red hair and Australian. Yeah, really strange. But yeah, sexy stuff. So Jeff, what sexy stuff is going on with you?
Well, Alex, I've been doing, playing the podcast game a lot. I've been doing a lot of podcasting.
Nice.
Uh-huh. And I had.
Are you winning?
I had some really exciting guests lately. I'm not winning yet, but I'm getting close. Last week was an NYU gaming professor. So there is a thing at NYU where you can get an MFA. They have some undergraduate class too, but you can get an MFA in game design and game or game criticism game production.
I've seen those commercials on at like 2:30 in the morning.
And they have a thing at NYU where it's called the Open Library, and there are 7,000 video games, new, old. They got like PlayStation 3s. They have Ataris. They have obscure things
so
like
there's
Bet
people
tracks.
Who are like, oh, God, I had a really hard night. I had to stay up playing Centipede.
Yes, they can go and the students can go and take those games out, and they have to for class. It's like homework.
No.
It is great. Yes.
That's nuts.
And I was like, what is the game? Like, what is like the Ulysses of your class, the thing that students dread? And he said text adventures. The students
really hated
having to deal with text adventures.
Well, they're a nightmare.
Yeah,
I was like, Alex, you can type hundreds and hundreds of things, and they're just like, nope, not the exact words we wanted.
I loved it because I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That would be the game. Those are the worst video games to play right now.
I remember when my dad brought home a computer from work, and he was like, hey, there's this game on here. You want to play it? And I was like, sure. He was like, here you go. And I was like, it was like Zork. Is that a thing?
Yeah, Zork's
one of the first text adventures.
I was like, this is hell.
But that's the thing. If you're learning to appreciate games, those are like kind of the first mainstream home video games. Like, you got to do the history. You got to learn everything about them.
Yeah. Well, it's just like with comics. If you want to really understand comics, you start with the first comics. Video games.
Superman dies.
Yeah. Yep. Superman dies.
The number one comic.
There. All started there in 1995 or whatever.
Yeah, the first comic book. Yeah. Jack Kirby, all those other guys, Stan Lee, lies perpetrated.
Yep.
By,
it's like the moon landing.
The moon landing,
exactly.
Yes. There we go. We're on
the
same
real conspiracy theories we've just discovered here.
And also, I had a guy a few weeks ago who wrote I can't remember the name of the book. I'm so sorry. It's The Unauthorized History of Marvel, which is a history about what we were just talking about. Did you read it? It's a great book. It's really interesting. It's a lot about Jack Kirby and Stan Lee. But it was interesting talking to him about how he wrote the book. How you research that, like going through the Marvel archives and like talking to Stan Lee and like what he remembers, and it's been a lot of fun.
He remembers 1 week ago. His chapter is very short.
Well, I'm sure you guys know this, but like the records are spotty, and like additionally, like oral histories of it conflict. So there's a lot to pull apart there. And like the truth is, we'll kind of never know what happened to some of them. So
did he find any secret he was just not supposed to find?
One thing he brought up that was amazing, this is a secret to me, was that Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys, I love the Beach Boys, and Dennis Wilson of the Beach Boys was for a brief period going to play Silver Surfer in a movie.
Really?
Wow,
and
great.
It never came to be, and I was like, tell me more about that. Like, I want to know everything about the potential Dennis Wilson Silver Surfer movie.
I'm a big-time Hollywood producer. I want to do a Silver Surfer movie. You got to get me one Beach Boy. It's a crossover appeal.
Do you think they should have gotten all the Beach Boys to play them?
Simultaneously? Oh, that's not enough room on the board. Ask Pete.
Nope.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Hawaii Pete. Yeah.
Real laid-back
Aloha.
Pete Page.
Pete, did you say that whenever anyone talked to you in Hawaii?
Yep.
Oh, Pete, you should also know most people speak English in Hawaii.
No, they don't.
Did you actually go to Hawaii? Or did you just hide in the back of Midtown Comics for 2 weeks?
Shut up.
The way you just did the hang 10 gesture makes me think you weren't there.
It's hang loose, asshole.
Oh, cool.
I have two fingers on my hands.
It's like this.
This is really good for the audio podcast.
It's great for the audio podcast, all the physical gestures.
Everyone do your hang
wagging his pinky.
How do you like to hang, Ted? Write into us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com and email us not a picture.
Make us a GIF.
Yeah. Send us a text adventure.
Oh, cute.
We're all connected today, guys.
Great, guys.
So we actually never established what the Jeff Rubin show is.
I mean, that's what I just said is probably the best explanation of it. It's like interviews with people that... I always describe it as interviews you didn't know you wanted to hear. It's just like kind of random interviews and people that I'm interested in talking to about things I'm interested in talking about. And often, so it's like a lot of people with like really weird or interesting jobs, and often that skew, because of who I am and because I'm picking the guests, it like skews kind of nerdy. So
you're the morally safer of geek stuff.
Kind of. That's what I'm going for.
Nice.
I don't know who morally safer is, but I'm rolling with it.
60 Minutes.
But what is he? Does he have like a specific thing he's interested in? Like,
no, he's just one of the later names when they say the names on 60 Minutes. I think he's and I'm morally safer. And this is 60 Minutes.
He doesn't actually do anything.
Huh?
He's just there to provide an and I, otherwise they
yeah, exactly.
wouldn't
it's
have
like
a last
the quirky guest. Yeah.
Can I talk about a vintage comic book I just read? Not
sure.
Even vintage, a few years ago. So I randomly ended up at the comic book store because, most appropriate reason ever, I was getting my glasses repaired. And the comic book store very wisely set up next to the glasses store. And they were like, it's going to be 15 minutes. And I was like, I'll be right back. And I went to the comic book store. And I just and I just tweeted. And I was like, hey, I'm at the comic book store. Like, someone name a graphic novel from the past five-ish years that I should be read. And, like, a bunch of people suggest something. But the one that stood out was, I read Why the Last Man. I love Why the Last Man.
Yep.
So someone said, you should read Brian K. Vaughan's Ex Machina. Am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Which I've never read.
Is that actually how you pronounce it?
Machina.
Machina.
Yeah.
So I picked up
the
first.
That was the Spanish pronunciation.
Yeah.
Well,
way to roll
I picked up the first trade of it, and it was good.
Yes.
It was good.
Yeah. It really continues to be good. It's
should I read the rest? Like, does it pick up? Does it build?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Hearing yeses from the crowds.
It's really cool. It starts to get into, it drifts a little bit into some off topics and then comes back at the end for a big, sort of brings it all to a close.
I like the idea that it's like one thing that I can read. I like having a beginning, you know, all due respect to Batman, I like when there's like an end in sight and there's just a beginning, a middle, and an end to a story.
Right.
And
something, if you like Brian K. Vaughan, we're not going to be talking about it later on the show, but there's a new issue of Saga just came
out. Saga was the other thing people recommended.
Yeah.
I see it over there, but it wasn't at the store and I was like, I got to go pick up my glasses. I'll just get this one.
Oh, yeah. Man.
You should pick it up, though. It's a
classic problem.
It's something you can jump right in and pick up. Great stuff.
Cool. So is that the same thing? Is it like I can
start
from the beginning?
Yeah. No, it was only issue number 10. So
if you like the beginning, the middle, and the end, start with one of those three. We're not at the end or the middle yet.
Okay. So good. I'll check it out.
All right. There you go. Guys, we're before we go on, actually, where can people check out The Jeff Rubin Show?
It is on iTunes. If you search for it, it's on YouTube.com. I'm going to do the rest of the URL just because I'm like, YouTube.com?
Interesting.
Jeff Rubin. So YouTube.com/Jeff Rubin. And JeffRubinShow.com.
All right,
nice.
There we
great
go.
Great websites.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Hooray. All right. In the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week. And we're going to go bat for them. First one is Pete's returning pick. I assume you read this in Hawaii. Daredevil number 23. What'd you think, Pete?
Well, first I would like to say thank you so much for really taking away Hellblazer from me. That was so really cool of you guys
to do. Oh, right. Well, we got an advance.
Yeah, you got an advance, so now I can't talk about it. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
You can talk about it in your spare time.
You guys are so great.
You can talk about
it's
it at
really
home.
I was the one telling you guys to read it, and nobody cared.
Well, I do want to mention that I tweeted a picture right after the show. Tweeted a picture. You don't do Twitter.
Yeah.
I
texted me.
Texted you a picture of Hellblazer 300 and said, "Miss you, Pete."
Yeah.
To you, and you sent me a picture of the beach with a beautiful sunset.
Yeah, I was literally on the beach, and the sun was setting.
Yeah,
and
I was like, "That's crazy." Boom. I didn't realize they had a poster of that at Midtown Comics.
Yeah. Where you were clearly hiding for 2 weeks.
Clearly hiding for 2 weeks.
But there you go. But do you want to talk about Daredevil at all? Or do
yes.
you just be
or is your pick just being angry?
Well, if that could be it, I would love to do that.
Pete returning for his 400th pick, being angry.
Yeah.
What's new in anger, Pete?
This Daredevil issue was very touching, very amazing, really well done. And, like, it started off and I was, like, angry. I was like, why are we getting three pages of a recap? I know how Daredevil started. And then I was like,
then there's a little twist.
Yeah.
It's like he planned it from the beginning of the issue.
It was like the writer knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So for those of you who didn't pick up this issue, we do get this recap of Daredevil's origin, where Daredevil, young kid, tries to save an old guy from getting hit by a truck. Instead,
toxic waste
hits him. He gets powers, heightened senses. What we find out here is that somebody is doing this to other people, trying to reproduce Daredevil's powers. All the guys that they're testing it on go nuts in the city, and Daredevil has to stop them. At the same time, he's trying to balance making time for his friend Foggy, who's sick.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then
again,
the last
great issue of a great comic.
The last couple of panels really powerful, especially that whole bit with the heart and like, oh, just so.
The last page is great.
Yeah, really amazing.
And I love there's just one panel of black.
Now, did you get a chance to read this, Jeff?
I did, and I enjoyed it. And I had the same thing where like I was reading the first few pages, and I'm like, I know. But the thing with the guy who was, I guess, testing the chemical on prisoners to see if they go blind was that he was at the original accident, which seems to imply maybe it wasn't an accident. Like, was that, like, set up? And I kind of, you know, I don't love when they go back and kind of tinker with an origin. They're like, oh, there's this whole conspiracy layer. Like Amazing Spider-Man, where they're like, it was no accident that he was bitten by the spider. His parents were researching spiders.
Yeah. Well, especially something that clearly was designed as an accident. Like, what mad scientist is like, well, whatever kid's walking down the street, we're going to hope he pushes the blind guy out of the way. Yeah. He's probably a hero. And then toxic waste is going to spill on him, and it'll probably give him some sort of superpower. I'm a mad scientist, so I don't do any research.
Then we'll stop following. Probably nothing interesting will happen to him, so we'll lose track of him for a while.
Well, back then, a lot of science just involved following around blind people and saw kind of what happened to them.
But, you know, so that, I guess, is to be resolved in other issues, but it was a good story. I really enjoyed it.
Yep. And great art from Chris Samnee, of course.
Yeah.
This is a great team. We talked about this also on the show last week.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Waid, Chris Samnee. Fantastic team. They've been doing a lot of other stuff as well. They did a Rocketeer book that was also excellent.
Great team, great friends.
I think what makes a good Daredevil book a lot is like the way, you know, they use the other senses. And there's a lot about the smell of the room he's in. And like you see like one of these people that has just gained these senses is like devouring a grapefruit or something. Yeah. Like just like, so a lot of interesting use of like the idea of your other senses being heightened in this issue.
Yeah. To think, in all these comics, though, most of the people have all five of their senses, but we never get to see them.
Right. Smell never really plays into it.
I know.
Or taste.
Not if I was running comic books.
Taste man?
Scratch and sniff. All of them.
Yeah, this guy with this huge distended tongue.
Distended. It would have to be distended.
Right.
No, I'm talking to you, scratch a panel in the book, and you're like, oh, look at that. Instead of Marvel A&R, why don't you scratch
Wolverine
and sniff?
It smells like beer and gross.
Perfect. It's a journey for the senses.
There you go. Let's move on with our next pick. This is Justin's pick, Batwoman, number 17 from DC Comics. So this is the last issue of J.H. Williams III's lauded run on the title.
Yeah.
What'd you think of it?
By the way, I
want to say it's very nice. You've been a fan of the comic for a while, so it's good that you're able to see it through to completion and be able to review the last issue on the show.
I hate you, Zelda.
What is this? Is this? I see. Yeah. I thought it was a trap for me, but instead he's just making fun of you.
He's just making,
I thought it was a trap.
Just always assume every trap.
He's
is for
the
me.
Hottest asshole.
Just another sexy trap from Alex Zalbin.
Whatever. I love to have sex.
Yeah, clearly in Chicago only though.
Yeah, real cold.
It's
the only place because I'm so physically warm that I can actually have sex.
Yeah, when they did that that list, there were only like 10 men in the city, I think.
Yeah.
That's why.
The rest had fled.
Anyways, we should probably talk about this comic.
Batwoman. This comic has been so good. The art has been really good. It's a complex story with so many different parts. From the very first issue, it was like, got to track down these missing kids. And it went on such a journey. This team up with Wonder Woman for the last 4 or 5 issues has been just so good. The characters are so well done. The art's amazing. And you really feel like the characters changed. The last panel, or the one of the last panels when Batwoman kisses Maggie Sawyer is just great. Just so good.
Yeah. Pete, what'd you think about this?
This is really amazing. And what I really like about this is the art really helps with the story and the action. And, like, they're always pushing the envelope with the art and the panels. And it really comes across in an amazing, powerful way, and I've been loving this team up, and I'm sad that it's ending.
Yeah, I gotta say, I think this comic is a mess, but
what?
What the fuck?
Yeah, sorry.
Pete just said it was pushing the envelope. You know how hard that is?
To push an envelope?
Where's the envelope?
Crazy hard.
Do you even know where the envelope is?
Yeah, you could cut yourself on the envelope.
Yeah. What? Why?
Okay,
why do
here's
you say?
The thing. I think the story is a hideous mess for this comic book. It's mostly incomprehensible at most points. It's hard to follow. This issue
is
slightly...
Wait, did you fucking read this
Maybe
shit?
You're
this
just not reading.
This issue is slightly... I don't know how to read.
Okay.
Yeah.
This issue is slightly more followable than previous issues, but the art is gorgeous. The art is what saves this across the
board. I will say, I feel like...
this readable.
I feel like it was a little lost for a couple issues, but this last arc especially has been amazing.
Yeah?
And very clean storytelling-wise.
Yeah, you're full of shit.
I'll disagree with you guys. I think I will agree that this last issue here simplified things a bit, based just on the fact that most people have died at this point, and they've wrapped up pretty much every one of the storylines.
That is a great way to end the story.
But it was very convoluted, hard to follow, and it wasn't really grabbing me. But what was grabbing me was J.H. William III's art, and it was consistent throughout. Even here, the pages have been superb and made it a completely lookable comic, if not a readable comic.
Lookable.
Wow.
Yep.
Jeff, what did
you say?
What
do you think?
So I have not read other Batwoman comics. I've not been keeping up with the series up to this point, and I had absolutely no idea what was going on. It was really
That
different.
Doesn't mean he's on your side.
Yeah, it does.
Well, but what it seemed like was that it was... It was the end of a story. Like, it wasn't...
That's a Batwoman, first off.
Yeah, it seemed like... Well, first of all, having never come into Batwoman, I was a little taken aback, and maybe 17 issues in, you guys are used to this, how little this has to do with Batman. Like, it was...
Wait, how little has to do with what?
Batman.
Why does a Batwoman have to do anything with Batman?
Well, she's...
Now, this is a trap.
I mean, it just seemed like the logo was very similar. I assumed they were, like, friends. Yeah.
Wait, so you think in a Batwoman comic you have to constantly reference Batman?
Yeah, oh, no. She has to be serving Batman dinner all the time, probably, is what you think. And bringing him tea and cookies
and wasn't very Batman-like, because there was, like, a city...
Here's your kids!
There was, like,
Batman!
There was, like, a Cthulhu monster. There was a reference to Arkham, but, like... The villain was just like this very like mythical demon. There's werewolves. I know Batman fights werewolves sometimes. I'm sure there's a thousand Batman comics where he fights like Draculas and shit. But this is the only, you know, it's not what he's known for. Let's say so.
I totally agree with you. No, I totally agree with you on this.
What?
And I think this is the thing that took me out of a lot of this story is seeing this last issue. It's cool in a comic book to see a giant Hydra attacking a city. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah,
like, I don't mind that it's not like Batman, like, but like, I certainly expected it to. You know, I thought it would.
Well,
not
even as Batman, but Batwoman is a regular person. To have her go into the fray and be like, here's a giant Hydra, there's no way she's ever going to beat that.
Well, first off, she did.
Yeah.
So, suck it. Yeah. Second off, she even says, like, this is fucked up, what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know we didn't see it, but I think Batman took care of it for her.
You know what? Batman, that's fine. Batman is catching the purse snatchers, and Batwoman, a strong woman, is up here, and she is doing business, because Hyder's got to be taken care of, too. Hyder's got to be taken care of,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she's doing business working 9 to 5.
I think it's cool that
I would like to just say that's the first time I've ever high-fived Justin.
Yeah, that was...
In my life.
Usually I go for high-five, and you punch me in the ribs.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I had no fucking idea what was going on, and it was... confusing, but it was good. Like you guys have been saying, like a lot of interesting layouts and like I'm just desperately trying to get out of that hole.
No, you're in the hole. Too bad. Yep. And Alex, were you voted the sexiest man or the sexist?
Oh!
I think we know the answer to that.
Yeah, it was the sexist.
Yeah, sexistiest. You're the sexistiest.
That's what it was. Justin, that was so great. I'm going to give you a second pick today. Justin, your second pick today was Nova number 1 from Marvel Comics.
I know I've only been gone 1 week, but why does he get 2?
Show's fucking changing, bro. So this comic, well, we can all talk about it, just like everyone we talk about. Jeff Loeb writing on this, and Jeff, if you're listening, he gives me shit all the time for not liking his comics. This comic is great.
Wow, you like Jeff Loeb now.
I like this comic. It's very good. It sets up the origin of a new Nova, and it's great. It reminds me of like a Spider-Man style origin where you really like it's heartfelt, but you're following the kid, you really believe it. I thought it was great the whole way through.
Yeah, Pete, what'd you think about it?
Well, if we're getting second picks, I want to talk about Hellblazer number 300.
No, we're not doing that.
Nope.
We already did
assholes.
It. It's covered trod.
Well, this was I really liked what Loeb was doing with the powerful story, like. Showing the other side to a hero, a little bit of a downtime. Like, if you have to fight villains all the time, almost die, you're going to drink in your downtime. You're going to be like, you know, someone who... I thought it was a very interesting idea, and I really liked it.
If you're going to do a comic book podcast for 1 hour a week, you're going to drink the rest of the week.
Yeah.
I hear you. I know what you're talking about.
Jeff, what'd you think about
it? I really liked it, too. And you know what it kind of reminded me of? And I rewatched it recently, but it kind of reminded me of Taken, or thematically, there was a bit of Taken... Where
what?
Taken has this thing where, like, the kid just doesn't believe the dad is cool, even though the dad was, like, this action superhero, and the kid's like, whatever, and they think their dad's a huge loser, and, you know, then, like, later, it doesn't really happen yet in this issue, but they're like, oh, my God, it's true, my dad's the cool... So, that, first of all, that just stuck out to me the second time I watched Taken, and I saw it a little bit in here. It's not heavy. I'm not saying it's a clear comparison or anything. But,
I disagree with you. It was more like Taken 2.
I haven't seen Taken 2 yet. That's why I watched Taken. I was getting ready.
Taken this 2 Electric Boogaloo.
I did like it, though. You know, my only complaint is that, like, it ended too soon. Like, nothing, you know, it's all set up, and, like, I'm like, all right, let's get going. And then, you know, you're at the last page. But
well, there's
going
to be a second issue.
Yeah, no.
It's like a sequel to a movie.
That's what I think the my only complaint was that there wasn't enough of it. You know, it's a good complaint. Yeah.
Just like Taken.
I also like this issue a lot. This is Jeff Loeb working well within his wheelhouse and one of the better things that he's written in a really long time.
He lives in a natural wheelhouse.
Yeah, he lives in a literal wheelhouse.
You're literally complimenting him while also slamming him.
I think, when he writes these big, giant superhero fights that are very plot complicated, mm-hmm. they get a little convoluted and they get very surfacey. Here, he's digging a little deeper. There's more emotion. He's working with Ed McGuinness, who's doing some
which
fantastic
he does well
art.
With.
I love the spaceship stuff. I love space monsters. Like, this dude with four arms, he's cool.
Yeah.
He gave it a nice emotional grounding this time, which I think is nice.
I would say, and I feel like maybe I've already dug myself in a hole this episode, but the girl,
I like where this is going.
Well, she's just like, there's just like randomly a cute girl who's just like, hey, you're pretty cool. And then like, that's all she does in the issue, you know?
Yeah, but wouldn't that be nice?
That's what girls do.
It felt like she was a little cliche.
Maybe for the sexiestiest man in Chicago.
Yeah.
Girls just walk up to you and say, like, hey, you're cool.
No, I'd like to see her.
Like, no, I'm cold in Chicago.
Yeah, nice.
One other thing that I want to mention about this issue that I actually noticed in about four or five issues this past week. Comic books starting out with slow zoom-ins on Earth.
Yeah.
Spending, like, pages and pages
exterior,
zooming in on a
the
planet.
Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I get that you're trying to give a sense of scale to your comic book when you do something like that.
It's kind of a waste of a page.
Yeah, you're doing 20 pages to establish that we're on Earth or in the galaxy is not too much of a stretch.
But
yeah.
What if it's a different galaxy where there's no space or space
here,
is
I'll tell you one that did it well. Did you guys read, I think it was Avengers 6 that came out this week?
It was good.
And there was an establishment of a planet. You thought they were talking about suns or planets on the first page, but it turned out it was actually two car headlights, and it was from the main character, was in a car crash that killed her child.
Right.
Yeah. So it took it and it twisted it in a way and played against that particular idea and worked very well. But here and a couple of other books where you're just like, Earth, 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 getting slowly closer. I'm like, yes, I know I live on Earth.
The thing, a lot of comic book readers are like, where do I live?
Yep.
And so it's a great way to establish. It's confusing. I don't know where I live.
I don't know where.
You want to read Marvel's new Where's My House comics.
I look forward to finding out exactly where I am at all times.
Now that I'm looking at the first three pages of this comic are all, you know, space and galaxy.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh.
We have Marvel apologists.
So we have someone
Marvel
here.
Editor Jordan
is that
White.
True? Is that true? They don't
from
count?
Marvel says that it doesn't count as a page.
There was called the
I'm cool with that, Ben.
Yeah.
There was called the space
pages. It's bonus
pages,
so shut the fuck up, I guess.
Are those pages always in there? They're just, you know... Just for that?
Well, no, I tore that's the space nice. Pages out of all the other comics.
No, I mean, just like, is there some equivalent of, like, that information has to be conveyed, and, like, they just found a clever use for it in this one by putting it in the galaxy. Sounds like we just get some bonus galaxy in Nova number one.
Yeah, we got bonus stars. That's what I look
if
at
they're
it.
Just bonus pages, they should get even more specific as they're going and just have like 30 pages of zooming it to the exact location of the character.
Well, that would be where a recap page would go in a regular comic, but it's a number one, so there's no recap.
All right. Okay,
that was the most accurate thing I've said all night.
Let's move on with my pick, which was Adventure Time number 13 from Boom.
Why did you want to talk about this one, Alex?
I wanted to talk about this one because this comic is consistently great every single month. It's hilarious. Yes. It ties into the show. We've talked about it on
It's one of my favorite, absolute favorite comics.
I eagerly await it. It has tons of in-jokes. I don't regularly watch Adventure Time, but I completely get this comic book.
Why don't you?
You should. I watch it literally every day. It's sad.
Literally every day?
Every day I watch at least one episode of Adventure Time.
How many episodes are there?
There are four seasons.
Oh, okay. So there's a lot to go.
There are a lot of episodes out there, but they're so... It's one of the most dense and rich mythologies on televisions. I mean any show.
I'm listening.
And they do it so well. They only tease it out. Even in this issue, you find out that there was this set on Earth. There was a huge apocalypse, a big war that happened 1,000 years ago, and... then magic came about. Marceline, the vampire queen, she was alive for a lot of that. She has this history with the Ice Kid. There's just this great history to all these characters, yet there's also a bunch of fart jokes. It's perfectly tailored to my senses.
Yeah.
It's so, so good and so, so funny.
Yeah. That's the reason I wanted to bring it up. I do like Adventure Time, and I do want to start watching Adventure Time, but even if you don't watch the show,
yeah,
you can still get into the comic book and enjoy it.
And if you like the show, this is not like a shitty licensed version of it. This is like, in canon, it feels like fleshing out more of the universe.
Yeah.
Does it feel different from the show at all? Like, is it a different mentality?
You don't like the show.
Extension of it.
No, I like the show.
Oh.
It does feel, it's written right stylistically and tonally right alongside the show.
It feels like just an extension.
It feels like one episode of the show.
Yeah.
And the backups use fantastic indie artists as well. So if you want to support people who are up and coming in the industry, this is a great title to pick up.
And the Fiona and Cake spinoff of this is also very good. And the art's a little bit different, but in a really interesting way.
All right. There you go. That's it for the stat.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was fun. Fun stat.
Yeah.
That was good. Fun.
Cool. Well, it's only going to get more fun, Jeff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We're gonna
Jeff, the show's not
section.
Over.
Yeah, it's not over.
Which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Booth Miami.
Booth Miami.
Play some light rock and roll.
Yeah, just
some light rock and roll.
Just a little riff.
All right, I'll only do light jams from now on.
Perfect. Elevator songs.
Yeah. All right, so I got some questions, I suppose.
Cool.
Oh, you suppose.
All right, shut up. Who do you consider the ultimate supervillain and why?
Ooh.
Nice.
I'll take this.
Oh, yeah, okay, great. You feel this one.
Yep.
I'm going to go in the bathroom.
All right, good. Doom.
I was going to say Doom, too.
Dr. Doom, interesting. I would say Thanos.
Any particular reason why?
No, it's over. He handled it.
Yep.
No, Pete, why Dr. Doom? Pete, Jeff.
I mean, because his name is Doom. He's a badass.
His name is Doom. That's why you don't like him?
No, I just feel like he's...
If my name was Justin Doom, you'd be like, holy shit, I can't deal with him. I better keep my distance. His name is fucking Doom.
Are you sure it's because he's a doctor and you're scared of doctors?
Well, he doesn't have health insurance.
That's true. It's scary out there without health insurance.
I owe him so much money.
You're like, ugh.
I just think he's like the most iconic almost. Like, he's just like one... He's just the perfect bad guy, you know? There's, like, no improving it. It's just...
And the whole Doom... When I think about, like, oh, man, the scariest villain, like, Doom is the first thing to always pop up.
He's just, like, the most supervillain-y supervillain.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think most supervillains have been updated to a point where, you know, they have to be in a modern context. They give it a tragic backstory.
They're not really villains, you know?
They're not really villains. Yeah, and him, too, you know, he's been a hero sometimes, and he's teamed up.
Yeah, like Magneto.
He is tragic. But Dr. Doom is the only modern villain who, if hit a cop book, he says something like, kneel before Doom!
Yeah.
You don't question it at all.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I will.
So you're on board?
Yeah, I'm on board.
Awesome.
One thing, though, I feel like Doom has been pushed into so many different directions now. Like, now he's like, he's great at magic. Like, he does so much magic now. He used to only be like building robots and traveling
Doom
through time.
Bots.
Now he's shooting magic around, and he like dated the Scarlet Witch for a while and had a weird relationship.
Why not?
I feel like some of that newer continuity makes him less scary to me.
Sure, I don't think he's scary. I just think he is a great supervillain. But you were saying Thanos?
Infinity Gauntlet, Thanos, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Why?
Yeah, why?
Ultimate power.
For the new Avengers movie, that's why?
Yes, certainly. But no, if you've reread the Infinity Gauntlet lately, it's amazing. And you see he's a villain who has ultimate power, and he just wants to have to be in this relationship.
He just wants to fall in love.
He just wants to fall in love, honestly.
What's wrong with that?
That doesn't make him a great villain.
No, I know, but
that makes him like everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
What?
Yeah. Pete, you're one Infinity Gauntlet away from being being Thanos.
Dr. Thanos.
Dr. Thanos. Everybody gets insurance.
Everyone should be a doctor. But no, he and he's brought down by his own sort of hubris in a great way, and it was just one of my favorite crossovers of all time.
Okay, cool.
Thoughts,
Alex?
You know who I was always terrified of? And
who was Cypher's supervillain? A guy who couldn't read? Or?
The Magus. Actually.
Oh yeah.
The Magus is Warlock's father in New Mutants. And Warlock was like this cute...
Wait. Seriously, this is your...
Yeah, it's the Magus, right?
Yeah.
Is it Mages?
No, out of all the villains, this is...
No, we know your information's right. It's just dumb. It's just a dumb choice. That's where everyone's horrified because it's a dumb
gigantic
answer.
Gigantic planet-sized robot who merely by touching you can disintegrate you?
Try and touch me, I would say. No, not you. But here's the thing. Why is he Cypher's villain?
He's not Cypher's villain. It was just you mentioned Cypher. So.
Was that really what you were going to say? That's cute.
There we go.
Okay.
Cool. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics.
That's a great question. Good question.
Okay.
I also listen to a lot of MF Doom, and I think that's influenced.
Oh, that's awesome.
That makes sense.
MF Doom's the shit. Anyways, how does Batman get those wonderful toys?
Oh.
eBay. Yeah. Right? Right?
Yep. He buys them from China.
You guys didn't read this issue, but it's kind of a special issue. Only certain people get to read it. When Batman goes to the dentist and he doesn't have any cavities, he gets to pick a toy and he goes to his chest and it's got all of his
those wonderful toys.
Yeah.
Wow. So only special people get to read it?
Yeah, only special people.
Oh, were you one of them? I guess you were one of them.
So he's like there in the chair. He's like, Doctor, do I have any cavities? No? Can I have a toy?
You think he would go to the dentist as Bruce Wayne, but I guess maybe. No.
I guess,
he actually, he's so crazy about that.
Another
toys.
Month in the No Cavity Club, I guess.
every month. He goes once a month to the dentist. He actually goes twice because he goes once as Bruce Wayne and once as Batman.
Oh, yeah, that's
smart. Twice as many toys. Yeah.
Does Batman go to the dentist? Does he have to?
Yes, Jeff. Of course. Yeah.
My teeth are rotting out of my mouth.
Yeah, like I know Batman's good, but he can't perform self-dentistry. Like there's just limits on the human body.
Alfred does it.
Alfred, do me a solid. my tooth look fucked up.
Everyone's got to go to the dentist, right?
Yeah, I know. He goes to all the...
He did dentistry on Nightwing. He kicked that tooth right out of his mouth.
That's true. That is true.
In continuity.
He was the dentist in that situation. Yeah. I mean, he's got to go... And he's old enough, he's got to get his prostate checked.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a lot of things.
Well, I believe there's some things he can handle in the back computer.
How did this go so bad?
It's like cleaning and stuff. I don't see how it's possible, frankly.
Robin. Honestly, I just need you to feel around. If it's swollen, I got to go to the doctor.
We should probably answer the real question at this point.
I think that was the real question.
Does Batman have a prostate? The answer is yes.
And it's inflamed. Let's be honest.
Come on.
Foggy Nelson goes to the doctor.
Shit gets fucked up. That's why I don't go.
You're right. It's a different continuity.
What was the actual question?
Where does he get the wonderful toys?
Oh, we did actually answer that question.
I mean, does anyone not know the answer to that question?
Yeah, he makes them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's a genius.
You guys should check out this movie, Batman Begins.
Yeah,
it's really good. The sequels are pretty good.
Oh, that was an indie.
It kind of explains it. Yeah.
Well, in the Batman comics, though, he does just builds them. Like, there's no real.
Does Lucius not help him out in the comics?
Lucius is just a money man in the comic book comics.
Yeah. I didn't know the character of Lucius before I saw the movies. Am I alone on that?
I don't. Was he in the comics?
Yeah,
he was.
He is. Yeah. He was in the animated series.
I'm sure I've seen every episode of that cartoon. Like,
yeah,
I'm
it's sure amazing.
But like, I never. Yeah, I just don't remember.
Well, there's another cool thing that I don't know if it's in comic continuity. Someone correct me if they know. There's an episode where Batman goes to his special garage where they fix his Batmobile.
Yep.
Anybody see that?
Yep.
Like, I wish that was such a cool episode.
I hope
that's real. And it's like he's got this bat mechanic.
Real?
Yeah, did you just say, I hope that's
really
real?
I hope that's real, yeah.
I hope that if somebody has problems with the cars, they go see a mechanic. That's
exactly.
What
I hope there's just a really good mechanic out there.
Yeah. Me
so
too.
So where does Batman get his car fixed? Where does Batman get his teeth fixed?
Yeah.
What else are we going to talk about?
A lot of mundane questions about Batman.
My toilet's broken. I got to call a plumber. Give me the bat plumber. No, I was just thinking of that. Never mind.
Oh.
What?
A plunger.
A plunger.
All right, that's just...
No, I was thinking about a plunger that was in a bat shape, and that wouldn't be helpful. Right. It was too complicated.
Well, if there's a bat toilet.
Great. Don't make that gesture, you're going to get some free comics. Yeah. Let's get the next question.
Thank you.
For movie and TV adaptations of comics, what is your favorite guilty pleasure?
Interesting. Mm. Oh, I got one. Okay. Right off the bat. I kind of... Oh, I've got like 100 of them, but I really like comic book adaptations of everything. I don't hate Daredevil. I don't hate the movie Daredevil.
What?
I'm
just
saying
that because Affleck won for Argo.
I know. I know it's bad. Like, I know it's not good. Because
he won now, that's a good movie?
Yeah. There are parts of Daredevil that I like. There are parts of Daredevil that I like. I like Bullseye. I thought he was cool. I thought Daredevil himself and the origin was cool. And I know it's not very good, but I kind of like the Daredevil movie.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. No.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
It's a guilty pleasure.
Oh, I've been particularly recently addicted to, and it's not guilty either. But Batman the 60s. That Daredevil's guilty, but I've recently been watching a lot of 60s Batman.
Oh, that's the shit.
It's all on YouTube. Like the owner of the copyright of this of the 60s Batman series was like, it's just not worth fighting. It's fine. Let him have it. Every episode is on YouTube in its entirety. So.
Even the Bat movie? Yeah. I was just saying last week that as a kid, the Batman movie terrified me so much when Joker turns the UN into little piles of dust.
Yeah, yeah.
Whew, haunts me.
Yikes.
I was going to say Green Lantern.
The movie?
Ugh.
Well, because
Green Lantern's worse than Daredevil.
Way worse.
Yes, it is. You're not even the same cat.
I said I was going to say Green Lantern, but I think if I watched it again, I'd probably hate it. Instead, I'll say Superman Returns.
Oh, I like Superman Returns.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I'm easy to
I've only seen it once.
I've only saw it like the once in theaters. I didn't think it was bad. I like Brandon Routh. It's bad. The kid. I'm like, parts of it are coming back to me. Like, I hate the kid.
No, it's true.
Yeah, you're thinking of the opening credits you like.
Yeah. I like Brandon Routh in that.
It looks good. It's filmed well.
Yeah.
Cool. So are a lot of
Arrow.
Yeah, the rest of the Superman movies are kind of terrible.
Oh, yeah. You love Arrow.
I've been watching Arrow. Like a madman.
Okay. Don't be ashamed.
Yeah.
Well, be a little ashamed. Don't shout that out anywhere else but here.
This is a safe place. Cool. This is a safe place.
Arrow's cool. What is good about it?
That's the thing. I don't know. I'm just addicted to watching it.
Is it because he kills people with arrows?
Which has been a lifelong dream of yours.
My Daredevil answer's not looking so bad.
I know. Yeah. Things are heating up.
Yeah, no.
Justin, what about you?
Jeez, I don't even know. I watched all.
You only like good movies.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have any guilty pleasures.
I love the Thomas Jane Punisher too. I just keep coming up with examples.
Okay.
I just had a long time.
Damn you for bringing that up because they're going to give me a lot of shit about that.
Oh, he went to see it 3 times in the theaters.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he was.
You're literally the only person to say awesome.
You're listening at home. Zelbin made it like a throw up in his mouth face.
Even Warzone has its redeeming qualities.
I watched Superman 3 recently, and that's a pretty sort of bad movie. But when the girl gets sucked in the computer,
terrifying.
Oh God.
Yeah.
It still terrifies me. But that scene in the movie, Lex Luthor, there are these two women in this booth with Lex Luthor, and they're like hating him to stop killing Superman. It's ridiculous, but. It was also entertaining.
Yeah, I seem to remember that as like, it's not much of a Superman movie, but it's a fun Richard Pryor movie.
It's a goofy, when he's evil Superman, he flies around the earth doing things, and he fixes the Tower of Pisa. And there's this great scene at the afterwards where this one guy who's selling statues at the Tower of Pisa, and he just, the whole movie's happened, this is right at the end, and he remade all of his little like ceramic statues to be erect towers of Pisa. And then Superman comes back and makes it crooked again. And he's like, oi! And he knocks them all off the shelf. And he's like, oi! And it's like the shittiest green screen shot. It's terrible, but it's really funny. I can't believe anyone ever is like, this will make sense in the movie.
Yeah. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
Good question.
Let's get the next question.
What book do you want or really don't want Scotty Young to do a baby variant of?
Oh.
Don't.
Or what do you want? What don't you want? Which books?
For those of you who don't know,
I don't
Scotty
think,
Young. has been drawing like young kid versions of all the Marvel Now books.
He's amazing. He can do anything.
I don't think he needs to do a baby variant of X-Babies.
No, they could be even X-Zygotes.
Yeah, there you go. Just a bunch of embryos rolling around on a page.
Rolling around?
Rolling around as an embryo.
I don't have time to talk to you guys about reproduction, okay? Zygotes be rolling around. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I don't know. He can do anything he wants, man. That guy's amazing.
What wouldn't he do?
Well, what would he do as well? Is that
which books would you want him to do a cover for and not?
Oh, sure. Okay, well, why don't we take what would you want him to do?
Yeah.
Oh, just skirting the question, huh?
Yep.
Too hard?
Yeah.
Too hot?
Too hard.
Too hard and too hot.
He does such a great job. I think there's nothing that I don't want him to see.
I'd love to see an Infinity Gauntlet to bring back what we were talking about before. A little Thanos with a tiny little Infinity Mitten.
Yeah, that would.
That's pretty cute. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Then the Infinity Mitten would connect to another mitten that has
You know what
no
I would
Infinity?
Love? I would love to see him do baby variant of JLA Avengers.
Interesting.
That would be great, because we could see him do the JLA, too.
That's true.
Yeah, he could do a cover. I wish he would do a version of us.
Oh!
Wouldn't that be cute?
Babies.
You too, Jeff.
Anything you wouldn't want to see as babies, Jeff?
Jeff, you hate babies. You know you hate women. You hate women. You hate babies, too?
So Jeff hates women but really likes Daredevil, right? Like, that's what we figured out about Jeff Rubin today?
Yep.
Yeah. I thought Daredevil was... I thought none
favorite
of your
movie.
Were better than Daredevil.
Yeah, no, it's...
Fair point. I don't know. I don't think there's any... I mean, I think that's kind of what's fun about comic books, is you can turn anyone into a baby and it's cool. Comic books and Mortal Kombat.
That's the total babality.
Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. Free comics, and let's get
I
the
just
next
wanted
question.
Like to say real quick...
Speech.
He said Mortal Kombat, and I almost punched Justin.
Okay, so that's
say
not
it again.
A justification.
Yeah, well,
if there
just,
was a cop here,
you just got to be careful. You can't just say Mortal Kombat and not.
Yes, think, you think, can. Yes, you can say that.
Your Honor, he said Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. So I tore Justin's spine out of his head.
Babalidine. Yes, Luke, next question.
Why is the podcast so loud?
Why is it so loud? You have volume control at home, right? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Slam.
Is that?
I'm sorry.
That was written on a piece of paper.
Yeah,
give it to me.
Here, I'll hold the mic 1 millimeter further away from my face.
Yeah. I mean, are you putting it on the lowest setting and that it's just blasting
guys,
your eardrums?
It's
out?
The live
Fuck
audience.
Fuck you.
It's the live audience.
Are you guys?
Asses.
Oh wait, they're here. Yeah.
I mean, I scream almost constantly. Yeah. I thought, isn't it part of my charm?
You have charm.
I go. I think that was gonna backfire.
Hey.
Let's get the next question.
All right, last one.
Last one.
If you had to kill off one classic non-powered supporting character from a comic, who would it be?
Wow. Gwen Stacy. Oh, nope. Got that one.
Cyclops.
He has powers.
He has powers.
Damn it.
And also, he's not a supporting character.
Oh, Punisher.
Punisher. Not a
supporting character.
None of these are supporting characters.
Yeah.
So like a sidekick, a friend.
I'm thinking. I'm sure there's a good answer.
Jason Todd, but they do it so much. You know?
He's also a main character.
Yeah.
Depends on who you ask.
You're thinking of friend.
Like Foggy Nelson.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch. You fucking son of a bitch. You read the last issue of Daredevil, you piece of shit. You're
not getting your way.
And to answer
Foggy,
you piece of shit.
It's not called Eat the Big One, first off. I think it's Bite the Big One. Eat the Big One means something else.
Shout out to a big
Eat the Big One. Eat the Big One means something else.
You know what I mean.
Cut this mic. To answer your previous question, that's why the podcast is so loud. That's Pete screaming into him.
Cool. Foggy Nelson, that's your answer.
No.
That's it for your audience questions.
Oh,
all right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Hey, in the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some news topics, things that are happening elsewhere in the world of geek. First thing, as always, we're going to talk about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Brand new this week.
Now, I don't know if they got The Walking Dead
in
Hawaii.
I'm not Walking Dead.
You're not into it at all?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Meh?
Well, I
just because
wait a second, you're into Daredevil, you're not into Walking Dead.
Daredevil's not as big a commitment. I watched it through the second season, not even through. I like I was in the second season. I was like, do I actually like this show?
Hold up.
I know it's gotten better. Everyone told me it's gotten better. I haven't gotten back on
board. You gave up through one of the worst seasons of television of all time and just stopped watching just like that?
Yeah.
What do you mean the worst seasons of television of all time?
I thought you were
going to
be like, what's your secret?
Yeah. How do you stop? No, it actually got very good in the third season.
Yeah, a lot of people have told me it got good. I know I got to get back
into it. I will say, since it's come back from the break, I have not been as enamored of it. I feel like it's slowed down.
Oh, really?
Exponentially. Most of the drama has been carried in Andrea's ponytail the past couple of episodes, shaking back and forth with indecision, not sure what she should do. And that's driving me a little nuts.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You guys haven't... Okay, now you won't be able to unnotice it. When Andrea acts, her ponytail just shakes back and forth constantly.
Well, that, as a classically trained actor, I should say that's an old acting trick.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Cool. What did you guys
wish see Justin's ponytail right now?
Yeah, it's a wet
one show. Just one show without talking about how you're...
Impossible.
So in the last episode, we had a classic Pirates of the Caribbean move where people went back and forth between one location trying to make deals while more people moved to another location and then other people came to a new location.
That's Pirates of the Caribbean
3. So I was pretty excited about
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
What
you did not describe the show.
Yeah.
Sure I did.
It was Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Yeah, it was Pirates of the Caribbean 3, but with zombies. So Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Well, I actually have liked every episode up till this last one. This one was much slower, sort of slowing things down to set up for another big fight, basically, I think. I love the Tom Waits song in this episode. I thought it was cool. In the
second
half.
Refresh my memory?
The young girl, Herschel's daughter, the younger one, the blonde one, sings "Hold On" by Tom Waits, and then it comes on.
Okay,
yeah, that was cool.
Pretty great.
Yeah,
maybe they should just make it more like Glee.
Yeah, it should be like a music video.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Did you like the they managed to slip in T-Dog in this episode? Did you hear that? So Andrea comes back, visits the survivors, like what happened to everybody, what happened to Shane, and they're like, they tell her exactly what happened to Shane, and she's like, okay, well, what about Lori? Like, Lori died during the pregnancy, and somebody off screen is like, and also T-Dog.
Yeah. That was clearly T-Dog himself being like, I'm still on set. I think it's fucked up in the commercial for the Walking Dead Dr. Pepper contest they're doing. They show a picture of a dog with T-Dog around a necklace around his neck.
Seriously?
Yeah. I think he was a human.
Was he?
It's fucked up.
I actually don't remember.
You don't remember him at all?
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Pound Puppies, so it's getting confused in my head.
Wow, great ref.
Did you just say Pound Puppies?
Yes.
Is there a Pound Puppies reboot, like My Little Pony?
Yep.
I hope so.
Yeah. I'll be right
back. It'll sell out.
Yvette Nicole Brown from Community is on it. It actually has a ridiculous cast.
Oh, let's talk about it.
My Little Ponies?
Pound Puppies.
What are we talking about? We started this in Walking Dead. Your daughter doesn't listen to this podcast.
I love how you're getting frustrated that people are getting off topic.
Yeah, well, you've given up. You're so tense. Yeah. Loosen up. Hang 10, bro.
You should go to Hawaii or something, man.
Should.
Take a vacation. Yeah.
I was very relaxed on the beach, and then I came back to this bullshit.
You came back from the South Pacific more stressed out than ever.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the last scene in the episode?
Sure.
Of Pound Puppies or
what? You guys think of it? So last scene of the episode, Andrea spends a night with the governor, wakes up.
What does that mean, by the way?
Spends the night.
What was that? The Max Headroom version? Yeah.
That's how I say sex always.
Don't worry. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So
just have Alex explain it to you.
I'll explain when you're older. Andrea gets out of bed, gets a knife, stands over the governor, is like, should I stab him? Should I not stab him? She's like, maybe I shouldn't stab him.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. What'd you guys think of that scene? Did you feel like...
She should have stabbed him, yes.
You feel like you should have stabbed him?
Yeah. No, I knew she wouldn't stab him.
Really?
Right.
Yeah, she's not going to stab him. The whole episode is about how she is like still on the governor's side, sort of.
It's bullshit.
And, it is. And another thing, seeing Tyrese be at Woodbury is stressing me out. I really like that character from the comic books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, I hope he gets back to being in the prison.
All right, cool.
I just wish every episode would dedicate at least a couple minutes of Michonne just killing people, because that would make me very happy.
She was working out in this episode for a while, getting ready to kill someone.
Yeah. But I wanted to see killing.
All right. Cool.
Noted.
Let's move on. Talk about a big news item that hit on Monday, and we'll dance around the specifics in case you don't want it spoiled for you. But a big thing that happens tomorrow in Batman Inc. number 8 was spoiled by the New York Post. And subsequently went to a bunch of other news organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was curious more what you guys felt about that, about big news leaking 2 days early two major news organizations about comic books. Jeff, I'm curious to get your take.
I mean, I did read about the story. Like, comic book spoilers are often on the cover of the comic themselves. Like, the cover of the comic often depicts, like, the thing that, like, the cliffhanger even, like, the very last thing. So it didn't strike me as, like, I don't know, it didn't strike me as especially scandalous, to be honest. Like, I'm a super anal about spoilers. I'm no fun at all. But like, I don't know, it didn't strike me as that big a deal. I don't know. Sorry. Is that wrong?
No, that's fine. I honestly was curious to see what you guys thought, because a lot of people are very upset. This has been a constant discussion about
spoilers. I can't believe, like, when the news reports on a... I can't stand it when I see the news reporting on a big story development in comics as if, like, when the news was like, Captain America died, and they're like, this is news, we have to report on that. I'm like, have you guys ever read a comic book? Do you have any idea how they work? Like, he's not dead. It's fine.
No, in the last Invincible arc, they reported that 8 million people in the Invincible world died, which was a huge tragedy, made a ton of headlines. No.
You know, like, it's, like, they reported it like it's like a huge title shift, and like, if you, it really isn't, you know? Yep. Right? Yeah.
I agree. I think it's very strange when it does make headlines like that. I know it's sort of good for comics that comic books are being in the.
I mean, I'm assuming DC like was like, got their PR person was like, hey, you should be taught. Like, this was not. I'm assuming they're about pushing it, right?
Yeah. No. I mean, definitely. It's not like they would like stop the presses.
Yeah.
Especially given the way DC's sales have been going, but I do think this character and the event that happened is sort of out of nowhere and sort of a bummer to me because I really like the character. And
would you have preferred to read it in the issue, do you think?
Like Jeff's saying, the cover spoils it also.
Right.
So when I got the cover, when I opened, saw the cover, I'd be like, oh, shit.
I guess the spoiler is it. Well,
I do think that this is a thing of, like, with spoilers, like, it's tough if you get advanced copies of stuff. I just think that, like, you know, don't get advanced, you know what I mean? We shouldn't do advanced copies. We should just be like, you should report as it's happening. That way you don't have to fucking worry about it.
Yeah. Well, I think most critics don't spoil it, right? Like, most critics know, like, even if they read it early, like, they don't...
The problem isn't advance copies to critics. It's comics get sent out early to bookstores. There are people who are printing the comics who potentially could take a picture and do a spoiler. There's comic book fans and people who will leak these things.
Do you think it's the guy in the printing at the printing press?
Pointing the finger at the printing press.
I'm just saying.
He's just
Gutenberg
a young man.
I was an intern at
a dick.
Maybe I shouldn't say, but I was an intern at DC Comics many, many moons ago, and I did see like comics like before like the proofs of them, and you know I knew stuff that happened, and I didn't put anything online or anything like that, but like I did feel I felt really cool also. Yeah.
But it's easier and easier to do that, and it's also easy to tell a friend in confidence, but then the friend knows and they could tell somebody else. There's lots of different ways
I knew who Hush was to date it a little. I knew who Hush was before everyone.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh,
it was
sweet.
Really cool. I got so laid that summer.
Hey, babe, you want to know? Hey, Tommy Elliott.
Who's that? Well, you see, Dr. Wade.
And then all of the girls' clothes are just fell.
That's another one where they've revised the origin a few times where it's been like the criminal. I was trying to think of examples earlier.
Right.
Like the criminal who shot the Waynes. Maybe it's a bigger conspiracy. Sorry, I'm off topic. Keep going.
That's right.
Cool. Let's move on. Next thing to talk about, Robert Downey Jr. may want to not be Iron Man anymore.
Oh, that's interesting.
You son of a bitch.
Based on that Oscar presentation?
I've always wondered, like, what does Marvel do when he doesn't want to or when he becomes too old to? Because, like, obviously they're not going to stop making Iron Man movies. They're not going to stop making Avengers movies. So, like, I feel like that's a huge crossroads for them. And I've been wondering for a long time, like, obviously he's not going to play Iron Man forever. At some point they're going to have to do something, like, just to reboot the whole continuity, just put a new actor in.
What's frustrating
anything.
Is one of those things where, like, Iron Man, like, he wasn't doing shit. And all of a sudden, Iron Man happened, and that really helped relaunch his career. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, he's turned around being like, well, fuck this.
He's been Iron Man in three Iron Man movies and at least two Avengers movies. Like, he's done his time as Iron Man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't blame him.
Right. And he's saying he's definitely Iron Man through Avengers 2. His contract is out at that point. So who knows what will happen? It could be contract negotiations.
Granted, he'll have been a lot of Iron Man. That's like five major movies where he started
probably
as Iron
wants
Man.
To
plus
do other
a bunch
stuff.
Of post-credit.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, he probably wants to be like another Marvel character.
He wants to be Doc Strange.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you guys think Marvel, what do you think they should do and or will do? I have no idea.
Well, I think they'll just recast it and move forward.
Yeah. Do you reboot it like Amazing Spider-Man style where you have to like...
No, I don't think so.
God, I hope not. You have to start the whole thing over?
Well, I don't think so, but because also I feel like the way their movies are going, they keep sort of expanding out. And so far in this cycle, it's been Iron Man is sort of the starting point for the next like move of movies. So it may change in where Iron Man isn't as central to it, I think is one way to go. Once they find out sort of who the next central character they can follow is.
Right.
Or reboot the character, or not reboot it, but bring in a new actor. And it's fine.
Until the Rocket Raccoon solo movie is ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of what the Marvel Phase 2 stuff is about is making sure that they have enough properties going so that they don't just have to rely on Robert Downey Jr. all the time.
Oh, interesting.
That's my thought.
But he's also going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not even... no wonder he's tired. He's their whole franchise.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And, I mean, he's been rewarded both, like... I'm sure he's received... a great deal of money, and also, like you were saying, it completely rejuvenated his career. So I feel like it's been a great relationship, but at some point it's got to end. And not just him, you know, Chris Hemsworth, he's going to want to move on. And that's one where, like, you could feasibly be a little older and be Tony Stark. Like, you can't be Thor forever, you know? Like, you can't be...
Right.
My hammer.
You can't be, like, 40 and Thor. Like, at some point, they're going to have to start over. And no one's really ever done what Marvel's doing with the continuity. Like,
yeah.
They're in completely uncharted territory, so I'm really interested in seeing what they do next.
I think we should try to find a way to make them live forever in youth.
That's my ideal solution, yeah.
Great idea, guys. And that's
somebody
it for Ross Geek.
Geek.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right, guys. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. Tip of the hat to Jordan D. White, who did an amazing job filling in last week.
Woo!
Yes. So, guys, this is an opportunity to win $25 free from Midtown Comics. $25 free
That's American.
That's American dollars that you can use on comics. All we need is one brave volunteer. Who would like to volunteer? Simply raise your hand to win $25 free. A simple raising of... Are you raising your hand, sir?
Yeah!
Yes, come on up!
Yeah, be shy.
First hand up, guy. Come on down. All right.
Come on down.
Come on down. Come on down.
What are you doing?
Microphone
please
right here,
sir. Please take center stage.
Please, please. What is your name, sir?
My name's Lawrence.
Lawrence. Audience. Audience. Lawrence.
Lawrence! Yeah. Yeah.
Lawrence, how this is going to work is I'm going to... read you a question, listen to all three possible answers,
Okay. Get
all three questions right,
okay,
and then you get the $25.
All right.
Interesting.
All right, yeah. So how this is this trivia is on This Week in Comics, so all the questions have to do with comics that came out this week.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Thank you, Boothman. In Batman number 17, what was under the dinner trays? Is it A, Faces, B, Alfred, or C, Brainy Smurf? So it's either A, Faces, which is what you should choose, or it's B, Alfred, which I was really hoping it wasn't.
Faces. A.
Yeah! All right, congratulations. All right, in saga number 10, Isabel, the ghost babysitter, first appears as what in this issue? Is it A, an elephant, B, a gorilla, or C, Snarf? So it's either A, an elephant, don't pick A, or it's B.
Or Snarf.
B is correct, a gorilla.
Nice.
All right, last one. Focus up, man.
Okay.
All right, here we go. In Hellblazer number 300, which was an amazing ending to an amazing comic.
Pete, we already covered
it. I'm really sad to see it end.
You already covered it, Pete.
Who does Constantine have killed? Is it A, Terry Graves, B, Gemma, or C, Scrappy Doo? So it's either A, Terry Graves, or it's B, Gemma.
A.
A is correct, sir! $25 free. Congratulations.
Way to hit the Hanna-Barbera.
Unbelievable.
Way to hit the Hanna-Barbera favorites.
All right, guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
A lot of good stuff coming out. I'm looking forward to Hack Slash because it's ending soon and I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to be reading that till it ends.
Okay. What are you going to do? What are you going to do after that?
I don't know. Maybe just cry and live in Midtown Comics forever. I don't know.
Yeah. There you go.
Great. Justin.
I'm looking forward to Punisher Warzone number 5.
Wow. Look at you. Look at you.
I've been really liking this storyline. Greg Rucka writing this. It's been fantastic. The Punisher's basically on the run from the Avengers and has been systematically taking them down.
Had a beer with Thor. It was amazing.
That was really cool.
Yep.
Pick it up.
Cool. I'm actually looking forward to Batman Inc. number 8. I'm just curious to see how the issue plays out and whether it does hit it emotionally or whether it feels exploitative or what actually happens beyond the hype. So I'm curious to read it. What about you, Jeff?
I'm going to pick Angel and Faith 19.
Yeah, good choice.
I will do. I like Buffy so much, I'll like 10 years later, I'll still read anything even tangentially related to it.
Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And that comic is great. I don't know if you've been reading.
No, I'm going to start with 19. That's the first
that's
one.
That's a good idea. Right? Start with 19. Perfect. Yeah.
Angel and Faith is awesome.
That's cool. Those are two of the best characters. So Faith in particular, you know, she's not on the show as much as some others, so I'd love to see some more Faith.
Yeah. Then you should pick up Angel and Faith.
You are not helping yourself.
You're really not helping yourself.
And plug some stuff. What should people check out, Jeff? Your stuff.
What's coming up? I don't know. Podcasts and stuff.
No, sell a little more than that.
Stretch it out.
I have a really exciting guest coming up with their podcast, but I actually don't like to hype any of them because sometimes they drop out suddenly. Like once, I was supposed to interview the world's greatest rodeo clown. He just like, I was where I needed to be and he just stopped returning my calls and never returned another email.
He may have died.
So someone in March, I'd say it's at least as good as the world's greatest rodeo clown.
Now that's
fucking impossible.
The world's best regular clown?
And also I do Bleep Bloop, which is a series on College Humor where I just play video games and fart around my friends. And Justin over here is going to be on it next week. We're going to be playing the Power Rangers Connect game.
We're going to be doing some Kung Fu.
Yeah, it's the Power Rangers Connect game. And I turned it on for like a minute, and honestly, I'm not making this up. It does one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a video game. So and Justin doesn't know what it is, so now he's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
It's really incredible.
I'm
not even being facetious. One of the coolest things I've ever seen in a video game is in the Power Rangers Connect game. So yeah,
that's awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Great. It hands you a pie.
I've never seen it. I play a lot of video games. I've never seen another video game.
It shows Daredevil.
That's Bleep Bloop.
All right, there you go. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have Josh Siegel and Jono Jarrett from Geeks Out are going to be here to chat with us, so that should be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pete, anything you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep, check us out at comicbookclublive.com and nerdist.com for the podcast and more. We want to thank our amazing interns, Iman Bell, Brandon Dannenhofer, Tomer Dar, Craig Flesher, David McKay, Pratty Tenicella, and Riley Trahan. We also want to thank our guest tonight, Jeff Rubin!
Bootman!
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here at Fontana's in New York every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thanks, everybody!
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Yeah.